那曼达不智那曼达不智那曼达不智那曼达不智那曼达不智那曼达不智那。
I'll begin my talk this morning by reading a passage from the Tannisho. This is one of the most well-known and famous sayings of Shinran Shonin. これ Shinran Shonin の非常によく知られている言葉で Tannisho からいただきます。合唱をお願いします。Please join me in 合唱。Even a good person attains birth in the Pure Land. So it goes without saying that an evil person will.善人でさえ浄土に往生することができるのです。まして悪人は言うまでもありませんと。ナマンダーブツ、ナマンダーブツ、ナマンダーブツ、ナマンダーブツ。Morning, everyone. 皆さんおはようございます。This month, we're celebrating what important Buddhist holiday? 今月は何の特別なお参りがあったんですね。You remember? Chinese New Year. Is this Chinese New Year is this month? That's true. But there's also a special Buddhist holiday we have this month. It's the celebration last week. Remember, what did we talk about last week? You remember? Nehane, that's right. Nehane. Nehane. And what is Nehane? What is that? What is that? Nirvana Day, right?It's a memorial service for the Buddha. We remember when the Buddha ended his life in this world. So in February, we remember the life of the Buddha. And I always like to, in the month of February, think about the sutras, the teachings that the Buddha gave us. So this month, we've been talking about what we call the Three Pure Land Sutras, the sutras upon which our specific teaching is based. And today I wanted to talk about the Contemplation Sutra. The Contemplation Sutra. And the Contemplation Sutra is very interesting because it describes nine different levels of people. Nine different levels of people. So in our lives, we often put people into levels, right? One of the cases that I can think of when people go into levels is in swimming lessons. Swimming lessons. Does anybody here go to swimming lessons or been to a swimming lesson before? Yeah, Taiyo, what level were you in? What level are you in? Do you have levels? No, at your swimming lessons? Yeah? How about you, Cameron? Do you have a level? Yeah, okay. Yeah, how about you, Raiden? Level one and level two. So sometimes levels are level one and level two. Sometimes they're the names of animals, like, you know, they might have guppies and, you know, salmon or all different kinds of levels that people get for swimming lessons. Actually, when I was in high school and college, and even for a few years after college, the job that I did most consistently was to lifeguard and to teach swimming lessons.I was a swimming teacher for many years, and I also would do lifeguarding during swimming lessons. And I very much enjoyed teaching swimming lessons, and I got to teach all levels. From the youngest students that I taught were babies, and then I also taught classes with three-year-olds. That was the first class that I taught with 3 and 4-year-olds, the first time they were in the pool without their parents.All the way up to the most advanced levels, usually children who are in middle school were about the highest age that I would wind up teaching. And so it's very interesting because you have different levels of swimmers. And I also would sometimes be lifeguarding during the swimming lesson. So I'd be sitting in the lifeguard chair. Have you ever seen a lifeguard before? Right? So lifeguard, sitting in a lifeguard chair. They sit in a chair, right?And high up, that's right. They sit in a chair high up. Why do they sit in a chair high up? Why do they sit?
The higher you are, the more they can see.
That's right. The more they can see. So they sit in a chair high up so they can see the entire pool. The entire pool. So my job was to watch the entire pool during swimming lessons. And so some of the students were just learning to swim. Others were very good swimmers, very good swimmers. And so I would scan the whole pool back and forth, but there was one place that I would keep coming back to and watch very closely. Can you guess where that was? Where do you think I was watching the most closely? I was watching the middle of the pool, that's true. I was watching the little ones, the little kids, especially the 3 and 4 year olds, because I knew from teaching swimming lessons that there's something that the little kids like to do. Little kids like to jump into the pool. They like to jump in, but they don't always understand the idea that you have to have someone to catch you when you jump in. So when I would be teaching swimming lessons, I'd have all the kids, I'd ask them to hold on to the edge of the pool. Do you ever do that at swimming lessons? Where your teacher says, okay, hold on to the edge of the pool, maybe keep one hand on the side of the pool. And I would work with the students one by one individually. So I would take, say, 1 4-year-old child, and I would have them, I'd be holding them up, trying to teach them how to swim. And I would sort of turn my back, and sometimes I would hear a splash sound behind me. And I would turn around, and I would see a kid frantically. And you know, usually I was right there so I could grab them and bring them back to the pool. But I knew that people would do this. I knew there would be people who would do this in the smallest, the lowest levels. So as a lifeguard, I was always keeping an eye, extra close eye on that youngest group of people. So as a lifeguard, even though we had all these different levels of swimmers, I was watching all of them, but I had particular concern for the ones who were not the best swimmers, the ones who were the weakest swimmers, because I knew they could get into the most danger. Now, in the Contemplation Sutra, the Buddha describes 9 levels of people, and he starts at the top with the very best of the best people. And these are people who are almost Buddhas. They're almost Buddhas. They're so close to being a Buddha that at the end of their lives, they're just instantly, say, born into the Pure Land. They're just this close to becoming a Buddha. And then as it goes down the list, you have people who they're still good people. They're good students of the Buddha, but they're just not quite that perfect. And then it goes down the list to people who are less and less perfect, more and more problems, people who make more and more mistakes down the list until you get to the very bottom, the very bottom, the lowest of the low, the lowest of the low. And these are people who make all kinds of mistakes all the time, people who have all kinds of problems. And the interesting thing about this teaching is that the Buddha provides a path for everybody. The Buddha has concern for everybody, but we see the greatest concern for the people at the very bottom. Just like a lifeguard has the most concern for the weakest swimmers, the Buddha has the most concern for the people with the most problems, the most mistaken thinking. And the Buddha provides a specific teaching for those people down at the bottom. He provides the teaching of the Nembutsu. Because anybody can live in the Nembutsu. All you need to do is turn your ears to the teaching of the Buddha, listen carefully, and say Namo Amida Butsu out of a feeling of gratitude for these teachings. So this is the Buddha's perspective. He wants to rescue everybody. He wants to rescue all of us from this ocean of difficulty in our lives. So oftentimes, you know, when I was teaching, when I was swimming growing up, you know, I would think of myself as I got older and got into the higher levels, I would think, I'm a good swimmer. I can do it on my own. And I would notice this when I became a lifeguard too. I would notice that the older kids were more and more confident and more daring, especially during free time. Do you ever have free time at your swimming lessons? Or free time in a pool where you get to do whatever you want? So they have free time, kids could do what they wanted. And you know what the older kids love to do? Can you guess? That's exactly right. They love to jump off the diving board. And they're not satisfied to just jump off. They want to do some tricks, right? They want to spin and flip and jump and do all kinds of interesting things because they feel that I can do it myself. I'm strong, I'm a good swimmer. No matter what happens, I'll hit the water and I'll be able to swim back. There was only one time in my whole career as a lifeguard that I actually had to jump in the water to help someone. And it wasn't a little kid. It was a 12-year-old girl. She was a very good swimmer, but she was showing off on the diving board. And she jumped off the diving board. So if this is the diving board, she jumps off. She jumps off and she was going to do a really cool trick, but she just didn't quite calculate it right. And bang, her back right on the board, and then she flipped down into the water. And I jumped right in. I didn't even think about it. I just jumped in and grabbed her and pulled her back to the edge of the pool. Because I knew that, you know, however good swimmer she was, she just crashed into the board and she was not going to be in any condition to swim on her own. And I think about my own life, and I think I'm often like that. I think that, oh, I've got it all together. After all, I'm a minister, right? I'm a good Buddhist. I'm very calm. I'm very patient. And I get kind of self-satisfied. I feel like I've got it all under control. But then all kinds of things happen while I'm going through my daily life, and I find myself, I get really mad, really mad. Or I do something, and I look back, and I think, wow, that was really selfish. You know, I should have left a little bit more of that cake for other people to eat. Should have been, you know, a little more patient with that person. And so I go through my own life thinking I'm a good swimmer in life. I'm calm, I'm patient, I'm doing all the things the Buddha's telling me to do. But then I have these experiences day after day where I'm reminded that I need that lifeguard. I need the Buddha. Need to turn my ears to the teachings of the Buddha. So our usual way of reading the sutras is to look at it from our own perspective, to think, oh, I want to be high up on the rank. Oh, where do I fit? Well, I'm not the best of the best, but maybe I'm like high in the middle, right? But Shinran's way of reading the sutra is to look deeply at his own life and say, you know what? Actually, I'm there down in the lowest of the low. And from that place, then he's able to turn his ears to the teaching of the Buddha and to live in the Nembutsu. And so as we reflect on the Contemplation Sutra, let's also reflect on the words of Shinran Shonin, who says that even a good person, even those great swimmers, even those people get rescued sometimes, right? Even that 12-year-old girl who is a great swimmer, even she would get pulled out of the pool when she needed help. So it goes without saying that an evil person will, which is to say, it goes without saying that that person with the problems and the difficulties, that the Buddha's teaching is there for them. It's there for me specifically. So this isn't about looking around and ranking and judging other people, but looking at our own lives and being very honest with ourselves when we need help and to look to the Buddha's teaching for that help. まあ人生の中にいろいろ人が並ぶとこ、人間の目から見てこの人が上手、この人は優れてる、この人は素晴らしい、またはその人は劣ってる、その人は間違ってる、いろいろなランキングしますね。仏様の目から見ると人間すべては間違ったり迷ったり、違うこと、違う方向に行ってしまったりします。ですからこそ、仏様の御教えはすべての人のためになるんですけど、仏様は特によく間違う人たちに心を配ります。ですから、お念仏という教えは、仏説観無量寿経の中に説かれてるんですけど、その教えは最も間違いが多い人のためです。で、親鸞聖人の味わいは、自分自身をよくよく見て、ああ、そのよく間違ってる人は私こそです。この御教えは私こそのためです。これは仏様の救いが常に私のところに働きかけて、常にその教えに耳を傾いて、正しい方向を確認して、そして感謝の念仏を持つのが、この念仏の生き方でございます。So I'll conclude once again here with the words of Shinran Shonin. で、最後に親鸞聖人の言葉をいただいて終わりたいと思います。Please join me in 合唱。合唱をお願いします。Even a good person attains birth in the Pure Land. So it goes without saying that an evil person will. 善人でさえ浄土に往生することができるのです。まして悪人は言うまでもありませんと。ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ。
ナモアミダブツ、ナモアミダブツ、ナモアミダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ。